Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are broadcasting live from the Christian Product Expo here in downtown Lexington, next to Rupp Arena at the Central Bank Center. Used to be called Heritage Hall for those of us that lived in Central Kentucky for a while, but this national event, over 100 authors here, just been great, all different states, and I'm thrilled to be sharing with you another wonderful book. It's going to help provide hope and take your faith to another level. Here from Seattle, Washington is Holly Lou Jostes, and she is the author of Salty, The Deconstruction of a Good Christian. First thing I got to ask, did I pronounce your name right?
You did great.
All right. Well, that's good. I got a simple name, Greg Horn, so mine's real easy, hard to mess up. I didn't hate to get a person's name wrong, but glad I got that correct. First of all, welcome to Kentucky, and hope is here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we are glad that you're here, and I love the cover of your book, Salty, The Deconstruction of a Good Christian. So tell us, why'd you write this book?
Well, I think I wrote the book that I was looking for, that I needed to read. And so I think that's how a lot of authors end up authors. But I was one of the faithful. I grew up going to church 3 times a week. And I'm part of the Dr. Dobson generation. Grew up listening to him, going to sleep to Chuck Swindoll. And I somehow made it to midlife feeling a little bit empty, a little bit hollow, not enough that you'd call the prayer chain, but and not as happy as I thought I should be based on who I knew and whose image I was made in. And so I was wondering about that, and then something bad happened. It happens to everyone. There's a day that comes that you weren't prepared for, and a loss that you don't want to accept. And I remember my first response was, "That's not fair, God." And I was very angry with God. And it pushed me into thinking deeper about why I do what I do. I was very busy doing good works, doing good things. I mean, I even did glitter crafts in the Sunday school. I mean, that should be extra credit right there. And then
you're an SC, a super Christian.
I was the gold star. And so then it all boiled down to somewhere along the line, I had understood that God loved me, and I wanted his grace. What I didn't understand or refuse to process is that my autonomy was never on the table. So I'm either going to be enslaved to the world, or I'm going to be enslaved to God, but slavery is not an option. And so I always wanted to kind of co-God, like, I'm going to do this life, and then I definitely want your blessing, but I don't want discomfort, and I don't want pain, and I don't want to follow you at any cost, and I certainly don't want to be a missionary, and I don't want to go to Africa. I want to go to Claire's, and I want to buy earrings made in Africa. And so on that day when I was unprepared for loss, I realized if you read the Bible with any sort of integrity, we're not promised a life without pain. That's just not in there. And so I was exploring why it is that I was angry and at God, and why I was a bit disillusioned with so many of the verses. Because when I was sitting at work, I didn't feel any less nervous or worried or frustrated or tired than those who did not know the Lord. I'm like, well, what's all this work for? You know, and that's when I kind of stumbled into the teachings of Dallas Willard and was really working on that moment of conversion when you're accepting God. What is going on there? Is this magic prayer that we pray and we walk away because now we know we're going to heaven? And what I had understood as a child was that God loved me and that he had ransomed me at a huge price, and I was dearly loved. What I didn't understand is that at that moment, I was offering him all of me, everything I hoped to be or to accomplish, the air in my lungs, any given Tuesday, all belonged to him. And once you enter into a season of active grace, where you understand that every day you are surrendering all that you are to him, that's when the adventure, that's when the joy that comes in the morning is, it's a reality in real time. And those verses start making a lot more sense.
I love it. I love it. If you just tuned in, we're talking with Holly Lou Jostes. She is author of a wonderful new book called Salty, The Deconstruction of a Good Christian. And, you know, the Bible talks about that, you know, God disciplines those he loves, and he doesn't do it because, you know, out of punishment. He does it because he loves us. Mm-hmm. And have you ever been through any of that in your life?
Oh, a whole lot. Yeah, I think I'm in the remedial class when it comes to responding to God's leadership. I definitely need a lot of correction, but it's true. I look back at the things, the very hard things that I've been through, and truly very small compared to what other people have been through. And I look back now and I see who I am now, and I can say with conviction that I wouldn't erase those things from my life, because it was that pain and sorrow that illuminated how much comfort had blinded me to leading my own life and wanting to be in charge of my dreams and my money and my time. And now I understand that every day I am consciously surrendering all of my rights to God. Thus, no one else, I'm you can't offend me. Because I've given away who I am to a perfect God. And so then I live in response to that grace. And that's when the easy yoke becomes easy. Any other way, it's just a whole lot of work.
Amen and amen. Well, you know, in your book, you say, you know, you shifted your thinking initially, not being able to see active grace until learning to unsee passive grace. Explain the difference in active and passive grace.
Well, there's something called a paradigm shift, and that is, you know, it's you're unable to see what you can't see, and you don't know what you don't know. And then when there's a paradigm shift or like a heart change, then you're able to see things that you were never able to see before. And passive grace is a little bit more of what I lived the first, you know, 30 some odd years of my life. And that is, I had asked God to forgive me of my sins. I had asked him to be my savior. I wanted to be a follower, but the definition of following was very murky. And so when I was a kid, we had something called the Wordless Book, and each page represented a different step in salvation. And so the red page was the blood of Christ, and the white page was forgiveness. And so you went all the way through, and then there was a yellow page, which represented heaven. And then after that, in our Wordless Book, came the green page, and that was after you had accepted Christ, you were to grow. And I was a smart kid. So I'm like, wait a minute. If we are here on the yellow page and we're destined to go to heaven, then over here the green page, it's like optional homework. And so that's why it was so easy to become lukewarm, because I was sure that I had prayed the prayer, I'm going to heaven, and growth thing looked very optional. So I could do a great job at the green page or a horrible job at the green page, and either way. And so, and any other way you try to explain it to me sounded like works. And I knew that there was no work in your way into heaven. And when we understand what active grace is when you come to the understanding that when you ask, when you've looked at the facts in front of you and you've decided that Jesus is the answer for the world today, if you've decided that God is who he claims to be, then we accept God because he is God, not because of what he's doing for us. And that is, then you enter into a state of active grace. And so we are living in response to a relationship with a relational God. And every day then becomes full of what it is that he has for you to do that day. And so the green part, it's it's the beginning of eternity. It's the second that we accept Christ as our Savior, we enter into the kingdom. Here, the kingdom is at hand, and now we get to live it here and now. And the extent that we experience the kingdom on earth, I think, is directly relational to the extent that we learn to surrender. And that's when life becomes really beautiful and truly free. So we're sacrificing a lower freedom for a higher freedom, a much higher freedom.
Amen. Such good stuff. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that word surrender. Hallelujah. That that's kind of been a common theme the past 2 days with a lot of the authors that, you know, when I wrote this book, it was after I really fully surrendered. And especially for men, and I'd say maybe for women too, but we usually consider the word surrender as a sign of weakness, but I think as a follower of Jesus, it's strength. Have you found that to be true?
Yes. I think I work a lot with children, and I work on explaining these eternal truths to small children, and it's the moment that they understand that Jesus wasn't held on the cross, he wasn't overpowered and kept there by the bad guys, that Jesus, in his great strength and courage, remained on a cross, that he wasn't taken captive, he was offering himself in place of us, and he was surrendering his great power. Now that is what strength looks like, and I think when we see that played out as human beings, that's what we applaud. Even those of us who don't know the Lord, when we see that kind of love, we all find it valuable and heroic. We use the word heroic, and I always wonder, how are you qualifying that as heroic if there's not something inside you that recognizes the valor in surrender?
That's so good. And you know, one thing you just mentioned earlier too, you talked about, you know, we pray and talk a lot of times to see what we can get from God instead of just being with God.
That's right. Yes. And I think that prayer is incredibly hard if you don't know who you're talking to. And for me, for many, many years, prayers, and there's nothing wrong with talking to God about what you need. But if that's all you have, then it's a very awkward-y conversation. And somehow, deep inside, you feel like you haven't earned the right to ask for those things. And so our prayer life gets all kind of guilt-riddled and anxious. So no wonder we have a hard time breaking the 10-minute mark. But when you are entering into a relationship with a real God who loves you, and you've surrendered all that you have in that moment, because it has to be moment to moment, because every moment you're going to take it back. So in that moment, you surrender who you are to him. That's when prayer becomes sustaining and life-giving. And you, by the time you're done praying, you feel revived. I didn't even know that was possible. I didn't know that was possible, going to church 3 days a week for 30 years. So how did that happen?
Well, we're going to end on that note, because I think there's a lot of people going, man, that's been my life. And we're going to talk more with author Holly Lou Jostis. She's got a new book called Salty, The Deconstruction of a Good Christian. And you just heard that last statement about she didn't understand the personal relationships, all that Jesus had for her and God, even though she was in church 3 times a week. And I know a lot of you listening can relate to that, but I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book. I want to encourage you to just go check out her website. She's got a cool name. It's Holly Lou. It's H-O-L-L-Y-L-U, Jostis, J-O-S-T-E-S. And .com. So Holly Lou, actually it's HollyLouSpeaks.com. You made it easy for us. HollyLouSpeaks.com. So I hope you'll check that out. If you're driving, you're like, hey, I can't write that down, but I definitely want to find out more about her in this book, just go to our website, HopeIsHereToday.org. That's HopeIsHereToday.org. And you can get all that information with the podcast of this radio program. We're out of time. The good news is Holly Lou will be back with us tomorrow. For Holly Lou Jostis, I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. We have been blessed by one of our faithful listeners and ministry partners to be offered a $10,000 matching gift this summer through August 31st. If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here Ministries, would you consider making a donation this summer? Please go to our website. website, hopeishere.today, to make a secure online donation or to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today to help us fully utilize this $10,000 matching grant at hopeishere.today. Thank you.